Let's take God's word this morning and turn in the New Testament to the book of Acts, chapter 27, please. Acts chapter 27. We'll begin reading in verse number 21. Acts chapter 27 and verse number 21. In this particular chapter, the Apostle Paul is a prisoner of the Roman government, and he is on his way to Rome to appeal his case to Caesar. He was taken into custody by the Romans back in chapter 21 for his own protection. The Jews, the unbelieving Jews, had they were trying to kill him. And so for his own protection, the Jews or the Romans had taken him into custody and then given the Jews an opportunity to present their case. Why did they want to kill this man? What in the world did he do? And so he's presented his case two or three times, and finally he just said, listen, I haven't done anything. I appeal unto Caesar as a Roman citizen. And so they said, okay, if that's what you want to do, that's what you'll do. And some of the Romans even agreed that if he wouldn't have made that appeal to Caesar, we could have just let him go, because obviously he hadn't broken any laws. He hadn't done anything wrong. We don't have any cause to hold him. But he had appealed unto Caesar, so in the process, you got to go through it. And so it was determined that we should sail into Italy. Chapter 27 begins in verse number 1. And so they do. They set sail for Italy, and they get a little ways, and then they come into a port there, and there they found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy. Verse number 6 says, and they got on that ship and set sail for Italy. They came to a place that was referred to as the Fair Havens. It was nigh unto the city of Lycia. And they spent some time there, and then they started and continued on their journey on to Rome. But the Bible says that sailing was dangerous. And so Paul gave them some advice. He said in verse number 10, we'll get to our text here in just a minute, but setting the stage for in verse number 10, he said to them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. If we go ahead and sail now, this thing's going to run into some trouble. I think we ought to just wait. Verse 11 says, nevertheless, the centurion, that was the soldier that was entrusted with Paul to get him to Rome, believe the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And so they set sail, and sure enough, a big storm arose, a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon in verse number 14. And this was a big one. This was a big storm, and the ship was caught, could not bear up into the wind, and they thought they were all going to die in this storm. This storm just continued on. This wasn't a couple hours. This thing went on for several days. It just tossed them around like a little cork in the water. And they were scared. Verse number 20 says, all hope that they should be saved was then taken away. That doesn't mean saved from their sin and saved from hell. That means saved from dying in shipwreck. They thought this thing was going down and they were going to drown in the sea and lose everything. They didn't have any hope. So verse 21 then, in the middle of that storm that has cost them all hope that they're going to survive, verse 21 says, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Don't you love it when you get to say, I told you so? The problem with saying, I told you so, it's always too late, and it's in the middle of a mess, right? Well, that's what it is here. I'm not going to preach about that, but just thought I'd throw that out for free. Verse 22, Paul says, now keep in mind, they're in the middle of a storm. They think they're going to die. There is no way they're going to survive this storm. They're going down. Everybody is scared to death. And Paul stands up and says in verse 22, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. What in the world are you talking about, Paul? We're going to die. The ship's going down. We're going to drown out here in the middle of the ocean. And you stand up and say, be of good cheer. Here's a man with some positive thinking. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Yeah, the ship is going to wreck for sure, but nobody's going to die. Hey, we're out here in the middle of the ocean. What do you mean nobody's going to die? Here's the reason Paul said that. Paul is not just an optimistic guy that looks on the bright side of things and acts like things are true, even if they're not. And, you know, just got to think positive. That's not him. Here's the reason he says, be of good cheer. There should be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. Verse 24, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. That's what God said to him. Wherefore, sirs, and so this is what Paul says to the sailors. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Says it again. I mean, these guys are starving. They have been eaten. They're scared. They're weak. They're expecting to die. And he says again, be of good cheer. This is the worst time of their life. And he says, be of good cheer. Here's the reason. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. And so you're familiar, I'm sure, with the rest of the story. About the 14th night, the next verse refers to, they sounded and they found that they were getting near to some land, and so they kept going and getting a little closer, and so on and so forth, and so they eventually, you know, the ship is smashed upon rocks, and the ones that can swim jump in, and the ones who can't grab onto a piece of board, something, anything to float. And the Bible says at the end of verse 44, they escaped all safe to land. And everybody survived. There were 276 people on that boat, the Bible says in verse number 37, and they, every one of them got safe to land. That island was called Melita, chapter 28, verse number 1, today known as Malta. And they escaped all safe to land. So Paul's statement to them in the middle of the worst storm of their life was to be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Now, I want to talk about that. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer in the middle of the worst storm. Now, this was not the only experience the Apostle Paul had with shipwreck. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says he went through shipwreck three times. This is the only one I know of recorded in the Bible. But he went through two other occasions, too, where his ship got wrecked. And he spent a night and a day, the Bible says, in the deep, he said, which would, of course, be the ocean. And so he'd been through this. And I don't know if this was the first time, second time, or third time, but he went through it at least three times. But whether it's first, second, third, doesn't matter. He knew what to do. He knew how to survive the storm, not just physically. He knew how to survive the storm mentally and spiritually or emotionally. He knew how to survive the storm in every way. And so I want to give you some things out of this passage I trust will be helpful to surviving the storm. You are either in one right now. When we say a storm, what we mean by that simply is you're going through something in your life that has really got stirred up. There's some things in your life stirred up. The winds are boisterous, and it seems like it's against you. It's scaring you. You're dealing with things that you don't know what to do about. These are big things. They're not just insignificant minor things. They're things of substance, things that matter. You either are now in a situation like that. It might be financially. It might be physically with your health or something like that. It might be some family issue or something like that. It could be something related to your work or something like that. It could be something going on in your spiritual life. But you either are in a situation like that now, or you're going to be for too much longer, or you just got out of one, or all of the above. You just got out of one, you're in one now, and you're coming into another one. Because it seems like they just keep coming. Paul had three of them. Maybe that's the three. The ones that were, the ones that are, and the ones that are still coming, maybe. You got shipwreck. You got storms. You got storms of wind and waves and all that kind of stuff. They're coming. You know, just like the story that Jesus told about the wise man that built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and all that kind of stuff, and beat upon that house. But it didn't fall. And then he talked about the man that built his house on the sand, and those same storms came. The rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house too. So it doesn't matter whether we can't sit back and say, well, I'm saved, I'm not going to have any of those things. Yeah, you are. It doesn't matter whether you're saved or whether you're lost, whether you're right with God or whether you hate God. It doesn't matter. These things, these difficulties, these hard things, these circumstances are going to happen in life because for one thing, this is not heaven. It's not heaven. Heaven's coming, but it's not here yet. This is not heaven. And so everything's not perfect. This is still a sin-cursed world. It's still a sinful place. And it's still populated with sinful people, and all the consequences of all of that kind of stuff all go together, and it creates some pretty tough situations sometimes. Some of it of our own choosing, some of it our own doing, and some of it we have absolutely nothing to do with it, but we're right in the middle of it. You ever experience anything? You got a clue what I'm talking about? Nod your noggin. You know what I'm talking about? Paul's in one. These other 275 other people on this ship are in one too. They don't have any hope. They think it's as bleak and black as it's ever been. They're going down, and they're never coming up. Last week we preached about David being greatly distressed, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. And this message is somewhat along the same line. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. How in the world do you be of good cheer when everything is beating against you and beating you down, and it looks pretty well hopeless, like there's just no answer, there's just no solution, and if there is one, you're not going to find it out in time to survive. How in the world can you be of good cheer? This is a good story. It's one of my favorites. I like this story in the Bible. I got a lot of favorites. This is one of them. Be of good cheer. You know, sometimes in this particular case, this storm, God didn't end this storm. It just kept coming until it smashed that ship to pieces. The ship did not survive the storm. The people did. That's what's important. I don't know what particular type of a battle you're facing right now and struggle that you're going through. I don't know what it is right now or what it will be sometime in the future. I don't know. Probably don't. But be of good cheer. You'll survive. You'll survive. You know, there's another storm we read about in the Bible in Mark chapter number 4, where Jesus and the disciples were in the boat and they were going across the lake, and a big storm arose, and Jesus was back in the back part of the boat taking a nap, and the disciples were scared to death, thought they were going to perish, and they said, Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and he rebuked the wind and the sea and said, Peace, be still. And there was a great calm and the storm was over, and they went on across to the other side. In that case, he calmed the storm. But in this case, he didn't calm the storm. He calmed Paul. And he calmed these other sailors. And sometimes God just kind of works everything out in your situations and the things you're dealing with and your circumstances and your struggles and the things that you're really finding so distressing and such difficulty in your life. Sometimes he just works all those things out, and you just kind of fade off, and you think, man, I should have trusted God from the beginning. Just let him handle it, because, boy, he just worked that out so smooth. And you just sit back in awe of God's wisdom and power when he does that. But sometimes God doesn't. Sometimes it just goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. And just like these sailors, you try this, and you try that. You try throwing this overboard, and you try and get rid of this, and you're trying to stop this, and you try to pull this down, and you try to make this work, and nothing works. And it just goes on, and it just goes on, and it just goes on. And sometimes God doesn't calm the storm. Sometimes God just calms you. And that's what he did here. Be of good cheer. There should be no loss of any man's life. Be of good cheer. How in the world do you be of good cheer in the middle of a big storm? Verse 25 is our text. I want to give you three statements out of that verse, verse 25. Number one, be of good cheer, for, he said, number one, I believe God. I believe God. Storms are coming whether you do or whether you don't believe God. You can think God's the biggest liar ever. You can think God has never said anything at all. So it's not a case of God lying or telling the truth. God just never said. You can believe that if you want to, but the fact of the matter is, storms are coming, whether you believe God or whether you don't believe God. But if you want to survive the storm, and you want God to calm you in the storm, you need to believe God. Paul did. I believe God. Now, let me say this. When we say, I believe God, here's what we mean. And here's what I believe the Bible means. That means I believe what this book says. I believe the Bible. We know that the Bible is God's words. The Bible tells us here in this particular case, before we had a New Testament written down, the angel of God stood by him and spoke to him personally and directly. He didn't do so through the Bible. The reason is they didn't have a Bible. We now have a Bible, and God speaks to us through the Bible. We say many times to our young people, God speaks to us through the Bible, leads us by His Spirit. That's important. God speaks to us from God's words. You speak to somebody, you do so with words. God speaks to us, and He does so with words, and His words are in the Bible here, in this book here, the Holy Bible. That is God's Word, and that's how God speaks to us. The Bible is God's words. It's how God speaks to us, and the Bible is how we hear God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how we hear God speak to us. God speaks to us, we hear it, and that's where faith comes from hearing God's Word. All righty? So, to have good cheer, it is important that you believe the Bible. You must believe the Bible if you would have good cheer in the midst of your storms in your life, whether they're here now, whether they're past, whether they're coming, anytime, if it's a great big one you think is going to kill you and be the end of everything, or whether it's just a minor inconvenience but you still got to deal with it, you need to believe God. Believe the Bible. Believe God's Word. Let me just give you some simple statements about believing the Bible. Number one, I believe the Bible completely. You need to believe God completely. By that I mean you need to believe every single word in it. Every word of God is true, the Bible says. Every word of God is pure, the Bible says. Thy word is true from the beginning. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Don't just choose parts of the Bible that you want to believe and then reject parts of the Bible that you don't like. All right? We have a tendency sometimes to do that with a lot of other things. If somebody tells us something we don't like, we don't want to believe it. You know, when my doctor tells me that fat and cholesterol and stuff is going to land me under the surgeon's knife. I don't like that one little bit. Fat and cholesterol, leaving that alone doesn't go good with an addiction to cheeseburgers. They just don't fit together. All righty? I don't like that. But if I want to live, I best be hearing what she's saying. I best be believing everything. All righty? I believe the Bible completely. We need to. Every word in it. Every word in it is not about me, but every word in it is written for my learning, the Bible says in Romans 15, verse number 4. It's all for us. It's profitable, the Bible says. All Scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We need to believe it completely. Number two, we need to believe it literally. It means exactly what it says. You know, we don't need to find some great promise, latch onto it, and say, boy, that's great. Boy, look what God says. But then over here, well, I wonder what that means. Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means exactly what it says. All right? You can believe the Bible literally. It means exactly what it says. Now, I'll tell you what. When you believe it literally, you can believe it without necessarily understanding it. You believe it because God said it. That settles it. That little phrase, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, that's good, that's true. There was a little song about that several years ago. I haven't heard it for many years. But the truth is, God said it, and that settles it whether you believe it or not. But it'd be very helpful to you if you would believe it, and we say believe it literally, as in it does really mean exactly what it says. Say, yeah, but I just don't understand that. I can't believe something I don't understand. Hey, you believe lots of stuff you don't understand. All righty? I have absolutely no idea in the world how this little bitty thing right here can magnify my voice and amplify my voice so that it comes out of those little boxes there on a wall. I have no idea. And listen, there ain't a wire pulling off of me. I ain't plugged into nothing. How in the world does that work? When this is all done, every word that I have said is going to be on a little plastic disc. And you can put it in a little machine, and it will play back to you everything that I have said. Same volume, same pitch, same tone, same blah, 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 you know. How in the world? I don't understand a bit of that. Not a little bit. Not a clue. But I sure do believe it. You got cell phones, and some of you just can't wait for me to get done. So you get out here and check that thing. See if you got messages and you can get on that thing. You know, how in the world does that work? You can sit here in a cornfield and talk to somebody hundreds of miles away. There's I don't even understand how you can do it with a wire between you. At least in my mind, with a wire between us, I can envision these little things called words or sounds going down this little wire and up this pole and down across all the miles and crossing the rivers and the highways and everything and coming into somebody's house and going down and coming out of this little thing. I can envision. I still can't explain it and don't understand how in the world it works because words are not something physical. How in the world? But then there ain't even no wires. How in the world? But I believe that. We believe lots of things that we don't understand, that we cannot explain. How about doing that with God? How about doing that with God? Believe it literally. It does mean exactly what it says. You don't have to understand it. You have to believe it. And by the way, if you ever want to understand it, it starts with you believing it. You got to believe it first. The understanding will come later. All right? Number three, believe the Bible absolutely. Absolutely. When I say absolutely, I mean, don't read the Bible and say, wow, could that really be true? That's kind of far-fetched. I really don't know about that. Don't have that attitude. If the Bible says it, done. Don't argue. Don't question. Don't doubt. You know, it was the devil that came, the first spoken words that we come to from the devil himself is, hath God said? Yea, hath God said? And he puts a question mark on what God said when God had spoken plainly and clearly to Adam and Eve, and he just places doubts and questions. Don't approach the Bible that way. Don't approach God's words that way. Well, that can't possibly be true. That can't possibly be right. You know, there's a lot of folks that take that that approach, for example, with God's teaching about marriage and the role of husbands and wives in the marriage, and the man being the husband, or the man being the husband. And that's a good thing, too. The man ought to be the husband. but the husband being the head of the home and the wife being in submission to the husband. There's a lot of folks that, even though they claim to be Bible believers, even they even claim to be Christians. But yet they say, well, that particular thing, you know, that was just a first century way of thinking. And we really know that's not really true today. Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. Take the Bible, believe the Bible absolutely, without any question, no doubts, no reservations. I'm not really sure. That's not the way to approach the Bible. Believe the Bible personally. Believe the Bible, not secondhand. Well, the preacher believes this, so I guess I do too. Not a good practice. Not a good practice. I appreciate your confidence, but that's not a good practice. You believe the Bible yourself. You believe the Bible yourself. Not secondhand, not hearsay, not lip service. Yeah, I believe the Bible. Don't just say, I believe the Bible. Believe this word. Believe every word, every individual single word. Believe it yourself. Believe it personally. It must be your faith, your conviction. By faith you stand, the Bible says, and it's your faith that you stand by, not mine. Your own personal believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. Be of good cheer, for I believe God. I want you to notice the second statement in that verse. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, he said. It shall be even as it was told me. That's important. Now, two thoughts. Number one, it was told me. It was told me. The Bible, as God's word, has told me what God wants me to know. He has written it down, and he has given it to me. Once upon a time, many, many years ago, I learned how to read. I learned how to read because God gave his word in written down form. That is the most basic skill God expects of a human being. That's why I tell everybody that the most important subject we teach in our Christian school is reading. It's not Bible, it's reading. You learn to read, you can learn anything else you need to learn. You can learn what has been told me by God if you learn to read. Read. It has been told us. God has told us how that we got here, where we came from. That's not a mystery. That's not the mystery of the ages. Where did we come from? In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. That's where we came from. And on the sixth day, God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's where we came from. End of discussion. You don't need to spend $60 billion in some research lab trying to figure out where we came from. You don't need to build some trillion-dollar telescope and explore the skies trying to find where we came from. We came from Genesis 1, Genesis 2. That's where we came from. And that's absolutely, positively, the whole simple truth. It really is. It has been told us where we came from. Told us what we're here for. We're here to glorify God. We were created by him and for him, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter number 4 that we were created by him for his pleasure. That's why we were created. That's the whole sum total of it. I was created to please God. It's been told me. I already know. I don't have to find myself. I don't have to find the meaning of life. I don't have to climb some mountain and sit bow-legged or cross-legged or something else like that, freezing to death up there in the mountains trying to figure out what's life all about. Oh, I know. It's been told me. It's been told me. It's been told me how I can know God. Some people go to their grave and says, well, if there is a God, you can't know him. My eyeball, you can't know him. It's been told. It's been told us. It's been written down. It's been revealed. Paul said, I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. We need to get off this idea that we don't know. It hadn't been told. It has been told. Well, I just don't know how to raise these kids. They don't come with instruction manuals, you know. Oh, yes, they do. It's called the Bible. It's been told us how to train up our children in the way they should go. It's been told us how to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's been told. Man, marriage is under such an assault today, you just never know. You just cross your fingers, hope you can make it, you know, and you hope you can stay together. I don't know how to do it, you know. There's no instruction manual on marriage. They're all different. Hey, it's been told us in the Bible. It's been told us. And it works. It's been told us. But how can I know for sure what happens after we die? What's been told us? Find out from the Bible. How can I know for sure that I won't go to hell and I will go to heaven? It's been told us. It's in the Bible. It's as clear. It has been told us. Who is God? It's been told us in the Bible. His name is Jesus. When he became a human being and dwelt among us so we could get an idea, so we could behold his glory. It's been told us. The answers are there. For everything. The Bible talks about in the last days men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of looking on all the things that's coming. And people are literally getting scared to death, just anticipating what's coming in the future. What are we going to do? Hey, it's been told us. What's all going to happen? It's been told us. It's been told us. What was happening on that little ship being tossed around in the sea? Paul knew what was going to happen. He knew exactly. He knew that they were going to continue to fight the waves, and he knew they were going to continue to beat against them. He knew that that ship was going to be shattered, but he knew they were all going to survive, and it was going to be all right. He knew that. You know why? Not because he was psychic. Not because power, positive thinking. The reason he knew, because it was told him. It was told him. God said, there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, just the ship. He said, I got plans for you, Paul. You're not going to die. It shall be even as it was told me. It was told me. That's important. We need to get that settled. I believe God. I believe it as it was told me. It has been told me. This is where I will find the answers that I need when I'm in a storm. What in the world am I going to do? Look in the book. Look in the book. It has been told you. I want you to notice the second part of that statement. It shall be even as it was told me. That's how it's going to be. It's not a case of, well, I hope it's going to be. It will. It will. Now, this thing went on for a few more days. But sure enough, there was no loss of life. They did lose the ship. It was exactly like God said it would be. Paul was told by God in verse number 24, thou must be brought before Caesar. Guess where Saul or Paul ended up? Before Caesar. Because God said he was. God said that's the way it was going to be. It shall be. You see, the truth is, the Bible works. That's the way it's going to be. The sooner we learn that, the sooner we accept that, the sooner we believe that, so the sooner we just submit to it and live our life based on that assumption. It's going to be the way the Bible says. The sooner we'll get calmed down in these storms. The Bible works. The Bible is accurate. It never, ever misses on anything, not prophecy, not history, not science, not your spiritual life, not your marriage, not your children, not your home, not your money, not your salvation, not your relationship with God, not anything It never misses on anything. It works. It's accurate. You can act upon it. You can depend upon it, because it shall be even as it was told me. And then the third statement I would have you to notice in this verse, not only I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, but notice verse 25, the wherefore. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. This is a reason to be of good cheer. Not because you're some knothead that don't have enough sense to know that there's a storm going on and your life is in danger and your ship is going to be wrecked and everything's going to be destroyed and you're going to have to hang on for it. Not because you're some stupid person that can't even see what in the world is going on. No. Be of good cheer because God's spoken. He's already told you what's going on, how it's going to turn out. Just believe him. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Notice what Paul said. When he told them initially in verse 22, be of good cheer. There's not going to be any loss of any man's life. We're going to lose a ship. But here's the reason, he says. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And he said, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Be of good cheer. If you believe God, if you believe it's going to be even as it was told you, then be of good cheer. Be of good cheer because you belong to God. Listen, there is not a storm possible on this planet of any nature, not a financial one, not a health one, not whatever other kind there is, economic, I guess that's finances, financial, physical, political, spiritual, emotional. There's absolutely no storm possible on this earth. No natural disaster, no spiritual disaster, no financial disaster, no nothing that can change this simple truth. I belong to God. I belong to God. No matter what, no matter who, no matter when, no matter where, the Lord has created me. I belong to him because he made me. The Lord has redeemed me and bought me with his own blood. I belong to him because he's purchased me with me. I belong to him because I have given myself to him. I belong to him in every way there is to belong to him. He has his seal of ownership on me and in me. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. I belong to God, and that can never, ever be changed. God told me that, and it shall be even as it was told me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. That's what it was told me, and it shall be that way in any and every storm of any type. No matter what its duration, I belong to God. Paul says, I serve God, whom I serve. I serve. My life is about his will. My life is about his service. The reason he's on this boat is because he serves God. The reason he's on his way to Rome is because he's serving God. The reason he was taken into custody by the Romans in the first place, because he's serving God. The reason the Jews turned against him was because he was serving God. The reason he was in Jerusalem in the first place, because he was serving God. The reason he appealed to Caesar, because he was serving God. The reason he's trying to win these people to Christ, even on the boat in a storm, is because he's serving God. The reason when they got to Malta, to Melita, that he was able to win some of those folks to the Lord in that situation, the cold and all that kind of stuff, it's because he is serving God. The reason he got on there, and even when he got to Caesar's palace, is still winning people to the Lord because he's serving God. Storms or no storms, prison or pulpits, he's serving God. That's what his life is for. That's what his life is about. Be of good cheer. You can serve God anywhere. He's in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the biggest storm of their life, if not his life, and he's serving God. He didn't say, whom I used to serve back before you guys took me prisoner. not whom I used to serve back when I was a free man, not whom I hope to serve someday if you guys ever let me go. No, he says, I'm serving him now. We're in the middle of a storm. God's still speaking to him. God's still giving him direction. God's still telling him what to do. God's still telling him how to be a help. And God's still using him to be a help. And all of those folks survived that whole experience because they finally got around to listen to this man that believed God and served him. Cheer up! It's all right! You belong to God, you serve God, and you notice, cheer up, because it says, angel of God stood by me this night. You know, there was a time in Paul's life, he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, no man stood with me. Nevertheless, he said, the Lord stood with me. You know, Paul had given a warning to these folks. Hey, listen, I perceive this voyage is going to be with hurt and much damage. It would be wise if you'd pay attention and listen. You're not going to like the outcome of this trip here. But the master or the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than he believed Paul. And they didn't pay a whole lot of attention to him. But God paid attention to him. And God stood with him. And you know, and I'm sure if we took the time and you wouldn't mind taking the time, we could have people, if you weren't embarrassed to do so or whatever, we could stay here till it's time to run up to Rubio and listen to folks talk about the different storms that you've been through. Of various natures, and give testimony to the fact the Lord stood with you. I'm not going to ask you to say so, but how many could do that if we did? We gave you opportunity. The Lord stood with you. Do you think He's done standing with you? If you happen to be in one now, do you think the Lord's not standing with you now? Understanding that if you are in one or you're not in one, just got done with one, it's not the last one. There'll be another one coming. Do you understand that the Lord is still going to be standing with you then too? We referred to it a moment ago. I'll never leave thee, said Hebrews 13:5, nor forsake thee. And basically what he said in that verse is be content with that. That is a very contenting truth. I will never leave thee. I will never, and especially am I not going to leave you in the hour of your greatest need, when you need me the most, and you're the most aware that you need me. I'm certainly not going to abandon you then. Be of good cheer. God stood with me. And I know Him. I belong to Him, and I serve Him, and He stood with me. And be of good cheer. He's got a plan for your life. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. God had a plan. And you read in some of Paul's other letters that he wrote back to different churches, and it's very clear there was a lot of folks that Paul won to the Lord by virtue of the fact he was at Caesar's household. And he won a lot of Caesar's, I don't know if his family or relatives, but at least his servants and helpers, some of the guards and some of the prison keepers and stuff like that, a lot of people on Caesar's extended staff, he won to the Lord. He God said, you're going to Caesar. Thou must be brought before us. God saw that as a must. You got to be there. And the thing is, be of good cheer. It don't matter if you're going through a storm or not. God's got a plan for your life. And apparently it included this storm in Paul's life, if for nothing else, to write about it so we can learn about it 2,000 years later. God's got storms in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 says essentially that you go through those troubling times so that you can help folks when they go through them. Because they're going through them too. Because there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Other folks are going to go through it too. The things you go through, the struggles, the difficulties, the hardships, the things you got to face, the things you got to deal with, other folks got to deal with them too. Maybe not the exact details, maybe not to the same degree, but other folks got to deal with the same general things. And you can be a help. And whether that's it or whether it's some other reason, the point is God has a plan for your life. This accident, this shipwreck was not an accident. Paul was there God was there. That was part of God's plan. And this shipwreck wasn't going to destroy Paul no more than the other two did. He went through three of them. This one didn't destroy him. The reason is he believed God that it shall be even as it was told me. Your particular storm obviously is not involving raging waves of water sweeping over a boat that you find yourself in, and you think you're going to be capsized and you can't swim, kind of like me, scared to death of water. It's not one of those kind of storms. Hopefully not even in any of them right now. But I would guess many of you are. And you feel threatened somewhat, maybe. Not necessarily that you're going to die and we're going to have a funeral. But everything that you hold dear, you may think, man, I'm going to lose it all. And that may or may not be true, but the fact of the matter is you're not going to lose it all. Because you're not going to lose God. Ever. For any reason. Paul was able to write about that. And by the way, he wrote it to the Romans. He said it this way. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Just hang on. Ride out the storm. You might have to dive in and swim a while. You might have to grab a piece of that broken up ship, but hang on. You ever heard the advice, hang in there? How many's ever had me give you that advice? Hang in there. You ever come to me for advice? I'll tell you what it is. Hang in there. I tell that to everybody that asks me for advice. Hang in there. Let me ask you this question. Does it work? Yeah, it works. It works. That's what these guys did. They hung in there. You know what? Every one of them survived. Every one of them. And Paul got to Rome safe and sound. Right? Be of good cheer. I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. This life is full of storms, and some bad ones are coming. But we're going to arrive safely at our destination. And whether God calms a storm or God calms us or both, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. Let's bow our heads this morning. Close our eyes. These sailors, they were the professionals. They lost all hope that they were going to survive. Paul said, listen to me. You could have avoided this in the first place if you'd listened to me earlier, but you didn't. Now you're in a mess. Listen to me, Paul said. God says it's going to be all right.